on eye health tips as well as migraine tips, because I do take care of a lot of migraine in my practice. And I also have a lot of educational videos on YouTube. So with that, I will stop right there. Sorry, we're going to go back a little bit, but I will open it up to some questions.
Great. Thank
Thank
you.
you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Dr. Benick. That was a lot of really great information. So we'll go ahead and officially begin the Q&A portion of the presentation. If anybody has any questions, you can raise your hand in chat. The instructions, excuse me, raise your hand in Zoom. The instructions have been placed in the chat. We don't take questions directly from chat. So if you do have a question that you put into the chat, please raise your hand and we'll try to get to you. So the first question is, can you share a study where you saw, you know, significant changes in someone's eye issues with dietary changes?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll share with you the story of one of my patients, Anna, who is she's actually in her 80s right now. And she had a long-standing diagnosis of macular degeneration. And there are two types of macular degeneration. There's dry and there's wet. And so Anna had wet macular degeneration, which is the more advanced form of macular degeneration, in which there's bleeding in the back of the eye. And it's what I like to call leaky eye syndrome. You may have heard of leaky gut. This is a form of leaky eye syndrome. And what Anna, before she met me, what she had to do was to control her leaky eye syndrome and to control wet macular degeneration, she had to have monthly injections of medications into the back of the eye to stop the bleeding. These medications are called anti-VEGF medications, and they basically reduce new blood vessel formation in the back of the eye and reduce the bleeding. So she was getting these monthly injections for about 3 years before she met me. And she was really so tired of having to go to the eye doctor and get these injections. They were uncomfortable, they caused her side effects, but she knew she had to do them. And she came to me asking, what else can I do to control my macular degeneration and also maybe to even get off of having to have these eye injections every month? So I talked to her about the diet, which is so important. And in my practice, I use various different therapeutic diets. I have different diets, for example, for dry eye or glaucoma or uveitis or macular degeneration, for example. So I put her on the therapeutic diet that I created for macular degeneration called the MADD, MADD, the macular degeneration diet. And so I said, you're not going to notice a change right away, but you follow this diet and follow it as best you can and take certain supplements and make some lifestyle changes and do it for 6 months and let's see what happens. And you know, we talked in between, but she came to me at the 6 month point and it was miraculous. She came to me and she was so thrilled. She was practically crying tears of joy because she said, Dr. Banik, I've finally been able to get off of my injections because of what you shared with me, because of following your diet, following your lifestyle tips, including regular exercise in my diet, taking the supplements. I did everything you told me to do. And finally, my bleeding stopped. So I was, you know, really, I was so proud of her because she was able to implement what I had recommended, and she made a difference. She changed the trajectory of her own eye health by making those choices for healthier diet choices and also healthier lifestyle choices. So it was one of my most proud success moments in terms of treating people with eye issues and using integrative and functional medicine strategies.
Thank you. And I would imagine that she was pretty adherent to the protocol that you laid out for her. Given that this is, you know, a lot of the changes are lifestyle changes, how receptive are your patients to making those changes and maintaining those changes?
So initially, you know, it's a little bit of a shock because it is an overhaul. It's an overhaul of one's life. You know, you may have had habits that you've been following for years or decades. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you come to see me and I'm telling you to try to break some of those habits. It's not easy by any means. But, you know, when people come to me, oftentimes I'm their second, third, or fourth opinion. They've been to other eye doctors and they haven't gotten the results that they've been looking for and they want to make a change. So there's already a lot of buy-in to what I'm suggesting to them because they've seen that other things have not worked yet. Like for example, with dry eye, you know, you can treat dry eye simply by putting in drops frequently, every, you know, couple of hours. lubricating your eye, but that's really the tip of the iceberg when it comes to treatment options for dry eye. There is so much more one can do for dry eye. And when people learn, okay, I could do this and this and this, and, you know, maybe change around my workstation and think about, you know, doing some exercises for my eyes and maybe making some changes in my diet. When they realize that these are small steps that can really make a big difference, then I get their buy-in. And I also I present it in such a way that it's not all at once, because that can be a little bit overwhelming. I have them make a small change, maybe one small change every week, and then build on that. So they're building healthy habits. So it's not just they're doing everything all at once, because that is really very, very difficult to do, to change your diet at once and change your lifestyle at once. But when you do it in small steps that are achievable steps, it is doable. And so that's typically how I, you know, talk to my patients about it. It's not just, you know, complete overhaul. It's making taking those baby steps to get the ultimate results that they're looking for.
And with that philosophy of baby steps in mind, you named a lot of different foods that people can eat, which can be, you know, really overwhelming if people aren't already living this lifestyle. If you had to recommend three top foods for optimum eye health, and, you know, obviously backed by your experience and perhaps scientific evidence, what would those three foods be?
If I had to pick three specific foods, I would pick kale for the reasons I mentioned earlier, because it's very high in lutein, zeaxanthin, but also high in vitamins A and K and many, many minerals. So I would pick kale. The second one I would pick would be broccoli, or better yet, broccoli sprouts. Because broccoli sprouts, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this, but it is also in my book, but broccoli sprouts have a particular compound called sulforaphane, which is important in the detoxification process in our bodies. And so it helps to detoxify, it helps to quell inflammation. And so broccoli sprouts, some of the early research has shown that broccoli sprout, you know, extract with sulforaphane can help protect retinal cells and protect against atrophy of retinal cells that can happen in macular degeneration. So I would choose broccoli sprouts. And the third food I would choose would be a very dark kind of berry. So whatever is available to you, whether it's blueberries, blackberries, elderberries, bilberries, a dark type of berry. And I would recommend that at least half a cup or even one cup per day to really support complete eye health.
That's great. Thank you. What are the most common misconceptions about eye health that you encounter, and how do you respond to them?
I would say the biggest misconception is that people should be wearing blue blocking glasses. In this day and age, that's perhaps one of the top questions all my patients have asked me, like, I bought these blue blockers, did they really do anything? And I had shared this also when we did our panel discussion a few days back, but not all blue blockers, first of all, there's no scientific evidence that blue blockers work, but you may want to wear them if you're having trouble sleeping. They may help set to your circadian rhythm or maintain a healthier circadian rhythm. So if you choose to get blue blockers, make sure that they have a deep tint, because if they're a lighter tint, for example, if they look clear, or if they are light yellow in color, or light amber in color, most often that tint is not blocking much of the blue light. It's probably only blocking about 10 to 30% of the blue light. And the way you can test it is simply by putting on the blue blocker and looking at something blue on your screen. If you put on your blue blocker and if you still see the color blue, most likely that blue blocker is not blocking much of the blue light. Versus if you get a deeper tinted blue blocker, whether it's a deep red tint, deep orange, or deep amber, that deeper tint will probably block about 98 to 99% of the blue light. So number one, not everybody needs a blue blocker. Number two, if you do want to get it for other reasons, not specifically eye health, but for other reasons, get a deeper tint.
And you know, going along the misconceptions, you know, in medicine in general, we tend to break apart the human body, and you have an eye doctor, you have a dentist, you have a podiatrist, you've got a heart doctor, and, you know, every different kind of doctor. Do people tend to associate, you know, like cardiovascular disease, you know, a lot of people would associate that with diet, but do people tend to associate eye health with diet when they, you know, first come to see you?
Not at all. And in fact, I mean, most people just come for their routine eye checkup saying, oh, I needed to get glasses. But what they don't realize is that the eye is, because it's so complex, it's actually intricately linked to many other organ systems in the body. And like other organ systems in the body, we do need nutrition to help promote our eye health. So I think making that realization first that the eye is not by itself. It does need a lot of nutrients, just like other organs do need a lot of nutrients. And also, this is also something important that I really want to spread this message out there, is that the eye, many people think of the eye as a window to your soul. That's oftentimes what we hear as a common saying. But the eye is really a window to your overall health. And when you go in for your eye exam, it's not only that your eye doctor is looking for your glasses prescription or looking for glaucoma or dry eye. Your eye doctor is actually doing a comprehensive exam that can sometimes pick up many other health issues in other parts of the body. So the eye is really not just a window to the soul. The eye is a window to our overall health. And we can pick up, as eye doctors, when we do a dilated eye exam, we can pick up over 200 medical conditions from an eye exam alone, which is really mind-boggling. So conditions that may be related to diet, for example, you mentioned cardiovascular disease. I've picked up strokes from an eye exam, high blood pressure, diabetes, inflammation, autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, cancers from an eye exam. So it's really important to think of the eye as part, as almost like a canary in the coal mine when it comes to overall health, because it tends to show up in the eye first.
Great, thank you. And we've got about 6 minutes left, so I'm gonna let the audience ask some questions. Leslie K, please state where you're from and ask your question.
Hi. So I'm from the Central Coast of California, and you listed a ton of different isolated nutrients. I'm wondering what you think about the advantage of a product, say like Juice Plus, that's concentrated whole fruits and veggies in a capsule, as opposed to those individual nutrients that, and you're going to get all of the well-rounded nutrition that goes along with that.
Yeah, so I'm not familiar with that particular brand, but I have heard of other products that take extracts of a lot of these different foods and extract their bioflavonoids or their vitamins, the minerals, et cetera. What I'll tell you is that we really should rely on our diet first, because that's how these nutrients are going to be most bioavailable, is how they get absorbed through the gut, how they go through the body, maybe coupled with other compounds or fats, for example. Some nutrients are better absorbed with fat. So when you take nutrients that are concentrated in a capsule or powder or whatever form it is, you're not necessarily taking it in the way that nature intended. You're not taking it with the other nutrients. And also the other key thing is when you're taking it in a capsule or tablet form or powder form, or maybe the powder form would have this, but you're not getting the fiber that the whole foods would provide you. So that's another, and also the hydration, because a lot of foods, the majority, the major nutrient in a lot of the foods is actually water. Many, especially fruits and vegetables, are like 90, 95% water. So you're not getting the water, you're not getting the fiber. So yes, you can take something like that as a very concentrated way to get many of these nutrients in a all in one go. But really, it is best to try to strive to get it through diet.
Great, thank you. Next question is coming from Aruna S. Please state where you're from and ask your question.
Hi, Dr. Rani. What do you? I'm Aruna from Maryland. What do you think
Nice to
about
meet you.
nice to meet you too. What do you think about eye exercises helping with eye health?
That's a wonderful question. And we could go on for another hour about eye exercises. So there are specific eye exercises that can be helpful to help you rest your eyes, to help you rest your focusing ability. But one thing, and I do recommend them in my practice, I know that there's a lot out there on, if you just Google eye exercises, there's a lot out there on YouTube and et cetera, on videos that show eye exercises. One thing I just want to clarify about eye exercises that's really important is that eye exercises cannot help you to reduce your power. Power means your refractive error. So whether you're nearsighted, farsighted, if you have astigmatism, if you have presbyopia, Eye exercises have not been proven to help reduce your power. I know that there's a book out there called, or there's a method called the Bates method that a lot of people have tried, or you know, they believe in, where if you do certain eye exercises, you can reduce your myopia. You can go from a minus 10 to a minus 5, or you can get rid of your astigmatism. I had an open mind. I read Dr. Bates's book. Actually, Dr. Bates was a doctor at the hospital where I teach at New York Eye and Ear Infirmary here in New York City. He was a doctor there over 80 years, I think about 80, 75, 80 years ago, where he practiced. He did a lot of his experiments at my hospital. So I approached his book with an open mind and I read it and I said, you know what? I'm going to try this myself and I'm going to see if it works for me. So I have myopia. I'm about a minus 350 and a minus 175. And I tried it. I tried the exercises for about 3 months. It really did not make a difference for me. And also, his experiments were never replicated by other eye providers. So it is not really something that most eye doctors will say that it works. Most eye doctors believe that it doesn't work. So I just wanted to clarify that.
And so we have about 2 minutes left. So along the same lines, as far as like a physical activity or something, is wearing glasses. So when some people say that when you wear glasses, you end up making your eyes more dependent and you can weaken your eyes. Is there any truth to that?
That overall is typically a myth. The only truth to it is if your prescription is not correct. So if your prescription, if you're overcorrected or undercorrected, you may not feel comfortable with the glasses. It may actually give you a lot of eye strain. It may actually go the other way where you really can't see well because you're overcorrected or undercorrected. So if you have the correct prescription, you should have the best quality vision that your eyes can deliver. And the way to know whether you have the correct prescription is to request something that your eye doctor can do called a cycloplegic refraction. Now, most refraction is when they put the lenses in front of your eyes and they ask which is better, one or two. That's called a refraction. Most people, when they do refraction, most eye doctors will do it without putting in drops. And without putting in the drops and doing it, we call it a dry refraction, it can give errors in the refractive numbers. But if you do a cycloplegic refraction, which is after the drops have been put into the eye, then that is your true prescription. And that is what your eye doctor should go off of. Your true prescription when the drops have been put in. And I can't get into the actual physiology of it because it does take a little bit of time to explain it all, but ask for that cycloplegic refraction if you feel like your eyeglasses prescription or contact lens prescription is a little bit off or if it's not helping you.
Okay. And so that actually is, so then you don't have to sit there and say, you know, is one better or is two better? It actually will be a measure that's not subjective then, basically.
Yeah, it takes away a lot of the subjective component. They may still ask you which is better, one or two, to refine it. So they may get the original, the underlying true prescription using that cycloplegic refraction, and then maybe refine it by a tiny bit. But it really does take a lot of that subjective aspect out of it. It's much more objective.
Great. Thank you so much for that information. And thank you for all the information that you shared today. We're out of time, so I want to thank you again. And if we can unmute the audience so they can share their appreciation for Dr. Benek.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.